action.
Now?
Yeah.
Can I go?
Yeah.
No.
You said something earlier about someone that had an infirmity and they needed to go through the Monday thing.
Yeah.
What was that? Explain that healing, please.
Oh, okay. Well, Monday nights we meet and we do distant healing work. And what happens is we will find out what's wrong with an individual, and if it's appropriate, we'll take them through and work whatever it is that's going on with them through a medium. In other words, let's say he has a respiratory illness that has been hanging on and hanging on ever since he went to a battlefield in which he got to experience a past life, in which he died from a respiratory bacteria illness.
Oh, wow.
Consequently, intend to bring the illness and whatever's attached to the illness through a medium and correct the illness or find out what is causing the illness to reoccur, and if there's anything attached to it, making sure that whatever's attached to it gets worked with and then sent back to God.
Right.
Okay? And so we do that with a few people on Monday nights. Meanwhile, we work with entities and so forth that need to be redeemed back to God, that are scheduled to come through.
Mm-hmm. I was interested in Jim's particular healing situation, what you're talking about as far as Monday night.
Well, with his, I'm curious because he got semi-healed when we found out that it was a past life experience for him. And then it got complicated. And then complicated some more. Yeah, I just keep... I need to find out what is complicating the healing process and why is he still having this problem. It's different problems, but it's based out of the same root, I believe. And the only way I can find that out is by taking the consciousness of the problem, the root of the problem, directly through a medium and working it through.
And what would be a potential healing for?
Could be healed altogether.
Yeah.
We did healing work on my aunt who was diagnosed with stage 4 inoperable cancer, and now the doctors are talking remission.
Wow.
So...
We had a boy that had been struck by 2 copperhead snakes. He was in the emergency room. And the family called here, and we did work with him on a Monday night. It happened that Monday night. And the boy was able to leave the emergency hospital that evening.
Wow.
And he was healed.
You were saying that somebody was just shocking when you had to get all her attached. She had a heavy lot of attachments.
Yes.
You just released attachments.
Yeah, I released the attachments, got them redeemed back to God, sent back to God, and she cleared. She thought she was losing her mind.
She was.
Well, yeah, she was hearing voices and chatter in her head, and she was experiencing extreme emotional problems where she'd just lose it. And after doing the work directly on her, she cleared.
Do those sort of attachments, can they happen to anyone, or is there certain people that it happens to more often?
Anyone. Well, you've got a story you can tell briefly, Lisa.
I kind of walked in late on what we're talking about. But you prayed over my daughter. And she was going through an awful lot. And I thought she might be on medication. And she's absolutely fine now.
Yeah, she did a 180 degree turn.
Absolutely good.
And that's what happens with this, because it's so common. People have absolutely no idea of how common this is. We're talking 98% of the population, probably 99%, or maybe even 100%. I don't know.
Picked it up.
Pardon?
up to 100% and just pick it up or have it attached?
It happens. It just happens.
Heat fields are all made of energy, and those are energy sources. I mean, there are different names for them, but in general, it's all made out of energy, and other people, other energies, other entities can come and mingle
you
with
have,
your own energy.
You're an electrical... Okay, your nervous system is electrical, and your body has electrical throughout the nervous system, right? It radiates. It radiates an auric field. Okay? That auric field, if something gets caught in that auric field, they can't get out. And they attach. And they attach right at the cortex of the base of the skull. And that's why you feel headaches back there, heaviness in the neck and shoulders. And it's extremely common. These are people that attach to you. It's men, women, children, elderly. The bad thing about it is whatever they died of can manifest in your body. And that's what's dangerous about it. And their emotions become your emotions. Their fears become your fears. If they had any kind of psychosis, you develop a psychosis, which is what happened with that one lady. She really, somebody attached to her that had mental illness. And it scared her to death. She thought she tried to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that commit suicide because they have attachments that want them dead because they can't escape their auric field until the person dies. Mm-hmm. Or until somebody can help them release.
Once you clear a person, you help them. They're cleared. Hopefully. Once you get it done, is a person stronger against reattachment?
Yeah.
Or it can happen?
Happen, they walk out the door and get new ones.
Okay.
See,
yeah.
The bad thing about it, I can give you the lifting, you can do it for yourself, but it doesn't give you protection from new attachments. There is no protection from new attachments. Because it's part of your process, it's part of your lessons. Here. Yay.
Okay. And now, these attachments, they're everywhere, and you can kind of just wander into one accidentally. But
absolutely.
But people, can somebody like bring an attachment to you like knowingly?
Yes, they not knowingly. They usually don't do it knowingly. But they can come in with attachment. There are what I call jumpers. These are souls that know how to move from body to body, place to place, and they kind of get around. And they can come in on one person and linger, because they do know how to escape the auric field. And I'm not sure how that's done. I'll have to ask and find that out, though. But they can linger. You can have somebody come in and kind of
slime
leave
you.
A whole bunch of stuff.
Slime you.
Yeah, they can slime you. Uh-huh. Or you might be able to, sometimes you can get in like Walmart or Kmart. No cut to Walmart or Kmart. Okay.
Just wear your carnelian.
There's a lot of people there.
Dillards.
Anywhere there's a lot of people and you're standing in line and they get in your auric field, you get in their auric field, and you can get slimed by whatever's attached to them. And they can like leap, jump over.
An arena.
Yeah. Malls, they love hanging out at malls.
Yeah, okay.
And you walk through them. And you walk through them and you catch them.
You can feel them? You can feel the entity?
I can.
Yeah. Is it like a vibration shift or temperature shift?
There's a temperature shift.
Yeah.
Cold.
Colder.
Yeah. And it feels like your energy's been sort of shifted.
Mm.
Ajar.
Yeah. When the attachment attaches to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, or when you go through it. Wow.
It's walking through. So can you at like State Fair say crowd. If you're walking and you walk through, can they keep multiplying, attaching? So I mean you just grow
You're not going to walk out with 200 or 300 people, okay?
Okay.
You might pick up one or two. It depends. You may not pick up any at that point in time. I think it has to do with whether you're in a weakened state. I think if you're weakened emotionally, ill, you pick up more. It's like your immune system is lowered. And if you're particularly mediumistic, you're in dire trouble with that one. Because you can go through and you just pick up a whole bunch. I had one lady, she had 300 attached to her. 300. I had to take them off 30 at a time.
It's the max capacity of the lifting.
Alcohol, drugs.
You get into drugs, alcohol, you lay your auric field wide open.
Promiscuity.
And whoever really loves drugs, really loves alcohol, they'll go to you so they can participate with you and enjoy a little of whatever.
Live through you.
Yeah, Vicariously live through you. And let's say you really like food and you get a foodie who's 300 pounds.
Yay.
You may end up
300
pounds.
That's the
problem. Now, if it happens often at your work, you can put up a floating protected sanctuary around your workspace.
Yes, there are ways to protect yourself. The lifting is not it. There are two ways to protect yourself. One is you can visualize a bubble, a silver bubble, mirrored on the outside, white light on the inside. I prefer an egg shape. Okay? That will protect you from spirit attachment.
It's good for 12 hours?
12 hours. Lasts for 12 hours.
And so good for a hospital, huh?
It's good for a hospital. Absolutely. Yeah.
I've had to use one.
So we just,
and they just bounce off of you.
So we just picture it in our mind for a minute.
And yes, and if you can't visualize it in your mind, I start as the egg from the top down underneath my feet. Solid egg. Okay? Mirrored on the outside, Christed light on the inside, white light on the inside.
Mirrored on the outside.
Yeah, silver mirrored on the outside.
So reflections bouncing off.
Yeah, they bounce off.
It's on the website.
Yes, it's on the website.
But just like a mirrored egg, and then on the
shiny.
Inside. Shiny.
Yeah.
And then can you also ask the Band of Mercy if you are not good at it?
If you can't visualize, I don't know if there are people that really can't visualize, you can ask the Band of Mercy to place a mirrored egg, silver mirrored egg, mirrored on the outside, Christ and light on the inside around you, in the name of Jesus Christ. As always, please and I thank you. Yes. Okay. Band of Mercy.
And you are physically actually calling that into form, correct? Mm-hmm. You are having an egg. Monroe Institute, they talked about the shell that you have to make when you go out of body and do work because of attack. It's the same, barrel almost, if you will, that you have to get in. You know?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
The other thing you can do is you can ask that a floating sanctuary be placed around you, and that it be cleansed perpetually. Because you want to make sure that any that go ahead and they're redeemed back to God.
They don't linger.
Yeah, exactly. And that you be buffered, shielded, and protected from all going in and out and from whoever is there. And that it be appointed appropriately in the name of Jesus Christ. And yes,
is that on the website, Samantha?
It's on the website.
It is?
Yes.
That's what I did for all the little ones that come to my house.
And you can do it for a period of time. I, with somebody who's very mediumistic, when I do the lifting on them, I usually place a sanctuary around them until they rebalance themselves and they're okay. Because they have to go through. It takes about 2 weeks when you have a whole bunch of spirits that are attached to you, or even a few that are attached to you, when they get lifted off of you, you're a little squirrely for a while. Your energies have been messed with, and they have to rebalance and reshift back into who you really are. And it takes about 2 weeks for that process to happen.
I remember the first time I saw you, I said, I don't even know who I am.
Yeah, and you're alone in there.
got quiet.
Yeah. It's like, hello.
My first time, it was like taking a Diet Coke and dropping a Mentos in it. That was the feeling through my body as it occurred.
And you feel them lift off of you. And aches and pains leave your body. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. I had, oh God, for years, horrific pain in my neck. I had a whiplash years and years ago. And it was an honest to God whiplash. And I thought it was the whiplash. And I found out there were two people that were attached to me that died from broken necks. Mm. And when they left my body, that was the end of my neck pain. Mm. It was awesome.
Was that from the house that they both died?
These were murder victims. Mm. I worked so much with murder, I didn't realize I was picking up a lot of them. But I was. It really helped with the cases, though.
Yeah.
You know, so, kind of eyewitness.
Mm-hmm. So, a perpetual, as you said, that would be...
Well, you asked that they be perpetually cleansed.
Right, but, like, as you said, if you're sick in the hospital, that's where... It was because I've been in too many times to begin. There's no telling what you're going
to do. You do need, if you're going to go to a hospital, I highly advise that you go ahead and put into place a floating sanctuary around you, because the energies in the hospital can be really horrific.
That would give you that, where you get that roller coaster feel while you're in bed and you can't figure out why you're going.
Well, I think that was a big part of your illness.
Well, I mean, I've been in how many times, Carol? I've been in. I keep picking them.
Yeah, I know. But you're mediumistic. Yay. it's tough when you're mediumistic. It's tough when you're sensitive.
It's like a neon sign saying.
Well, you're a bright light in the darkness out there, and these people desperately want help. And if they can't get help, they desperately want to live again. They desperately want to intermingle in the physical world, be part of the world again. It's a terrible thing to be bound to this earth plane and not in heaven, locked in the outer darkness, not here, not there. It's a bad place to be in, especially for children. I feel so sorry for children. But it's common, unfortunately. And no one seems to know a whole lot about it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm getting it out there. Thank I want you. People to become educated in this, to become knowledgeable in this, so that you can help yourself and you can help others as well. This is not mine. It's God's. It's for all of you.
And it's going worldwide.
And it's going worldwide.
To infinity and beyond.
And beyond. That's all good. And I have changed the lifting, so be aware. Savannah's going to post it. There's some little changes. It's not major. But the biggest change is the beginning. I would please ask for the appropriate bands of mercy.
All appropriate bands.
We have multiple bands of mercy now that are ready to start doing work. So,
but you need to say appropriate.
The appropriate bands of mercy. Yeah.
I made it plural after the last meeting, but.
Yeah. So that will be helpful. That will cover the glory band of mercy. And the glory band of mercy are those individuals who passed, who believed that they were bound to hell and that they were to serve Satan, and they believed that their end glory would be to become demons, full-fledged demons. Mm-hmm. You can't be, a human cannot be a demon. A demon is a fallen angel. Mm-hmm. But it was how they got seduced, if you will. And those that got redeemed back to God then formed the glory band. And they can then get those that are locked in just like they were and get them into the light, which is a really good thing. Because a lot of people, they think that they're being hit by the demonic, but it's actually the glory, it's actually the fallen humans that believe they're demonic. And you can't use what you would use for the demonic because it won't do any, it won't be effective with them.
They're just people.
They're just people. So you can command them all day long in the name of Jesus Christ and it won't help.
Yeah, free will.
That's right. But with the glory band of mercy, they're gone.
That's good enough.
Yeah. Comes in super handy when you have that knowledge. So this is going to come in handy for a lot of things. Any questions? No? Okay, good. Yay.
Meeting adjourned.
Meeting done. We're done.
We do have a question, though. Okay, so if you want to do a lifting over your home, or you want to maybe do a cleansing and a blessing over your home. Okay, say I was married and my husband bought the house. It was his, I was not on title, so it was his house. The title was vested in him. It was his house as a married person, but still his house. Would I still need his permission to do a cleansing and a blessing over the home and property and to say the lifting?
You know, that's a really good question. I'm not sure. I would say off the top of my head, you'd have to have his permission to put the house and property in your prayers, which would be the safest way to do it, unless he's knowledgeable, in which case it wouldn't matter. But the fact that you're married to him, oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, you'd have to get his permission because he had it prior to you getting married. If you married him and you bought the house together, even though it's in his name, mm-hmm. you could probably go ahead and do it. But if he had the marriage, if he had the house and property before the marriage, you'd have to have his permission.
Mm-hmm. Well. Me, for example, my dad and I both hold title for my house, but it's not his primary residence. He has a residence elsewhere.
You don't have a problem with that.
Okay. Because my name is on.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's good. You have to, there's some nitpicking that goes on. Spiritual laws, you know.
But yeah, you can do the lifting, not include your spouse in the lifting.
You can, but you have to get their permission once a year.
Oh, you do have to get their permission.
You do have to get their permission once a year.
Okay.
Anybody over the age 13 and over?
Actually, over the age of 12.
Well, I thought because being married to them that they affected you, so.
That's correct. But it's a wise move to get their permission once a year to put them in your prayers.
So they actually need to verbalize it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to say, can I put you in the lifting? You can just say, honey, can I put you in my prayers?
Well, I mean, he sits and listens to me every night, so.
Well, but, that's for those that yeah. aren't you.
Okay.
On lifting, Carol, you have to ask somebody if they'd like to be included. What is the result if you do not? Do you do more harm?
Nothing will be done.
Nothing will work.
Okay. Nothing will work.
But you're not going to.
That's a good question too. Would there be harm if you were to do a lifting on someone that didn't give you permission? No, nothing would be done. It just simply wouldn't be done.
But could there be repercussions if you knew that you had to have their permission? There wouldn't be any spiritual laws broken with that?
No.
It would just kind of just be like...
Nullified. It'd just be nullified.
Okay.
Because I did it. Well, of course I did. It was in my early developing. You have to understand, I've been working with this since 86. Yeah, 86. It's when I found out about spirits attaching to people and learned about the band of mercy and then started developing other bands of mercy. And it was step by step by step by step. And of course, I broke all the laws, you know. I messed up all the way around. I had to find out what was going to happen. Didn't do it intentionally to find out, but it's just the way it goes. Of course, I recognize I was protected too. But yeah.
How did you find out the first time that
My spirits could attach.
I had gotten a book, and it was about spirit attachment, The Unquiet Dead by Dr. Edith Fiore. And everyone had been telling me I really needed to read this book. And I said, yeah. And one day, one of my clients brought the book to me and said, here, you really need to read this book. So I said, okay. So I sat down that evening and I began reading the book. And it was about spirit attachment. How this psychologist started working with people that had different problems, anxiety attacks, phobias, that sort of thing. And she found out that they actually had spirits attached to them, and she found out how to get the spirits off of them. And about halfway through the book, she writes, by the way, if you're experiencing an anxiety attack about now, you have spirits attached to you, which I was. And I went, oh, crud. The next day, three people showed up on my doorstep saying, I have spirits attached to me. Can you help me?
You did not know these people.
No, didn't know them from Adam.
Kind
and
of
I went, okay, obviously, I'm on a whole new path. Lessons, whole new lesson, whole new path. And I had been working with a doctor years back, and he had taught me finger signals. And I tape recorded my sessions with these people. And the finger signal was, the right index was yes, the left index was no. The little finger was, I don't want to answer, or I don't know the answer. Which in fact actually means yes.
No.
But it gives them an out, they think.
Yeah.
So I sat these people down and I tape recorded the session. And I said, are there any spirits attached here? And I got the right index finger lifted, yes. Are there more than 10? The left lifted, no. Are there more than 9? No. Are there more than 8? No. Are there 8? Yes. Are these both men and women? Yes. Okay. Let's bring the first spirit forth. So I brought them forth and I asked them, I said, did you die? And I had them use finger signals to answer me. Did you die a natural death? And there was this little finger that lifted up. I said, are you aware that you've lost your physical body? I got, no. None of them knew they had died. And I had to inform them what had happened to them. And I said, do you remember the last thing that happened? Do you remember what happened to you? And I got, yes. Was there an illness? No. Was there an accident? Yes. And so I worked it through that way. Well, when I played the tape recorder back, there were people answering my questions verbally on the tape.
Okay? Saying yes, eh?
Yes. And they were male, female, kids, wow. Older people. Wow. And I went, holy cow. This stuff's for real. I always get blown away. I can't help it. I just get blown away. And I did that with all these different people. And I started asking them, can you give me your full name? I couldn't hear it until I played the tape back. And what is your address? And is there anything you want me to tell the people, your loved ones? And they'd say yes. And I'd get their name and address, and it would prove out to be accurate. And what they died of.
So did you just like call them up and say, hey, I got a message from so-and-so,
yes.
And they said they lived here,
yes.
And they died of this?
Yes.
And how many people fainted on you?
Actually, these people, this one man, he was out of Chicago. So I had to call his family in Chicago.
So
did they hang up on you?
Nope.
You got to the lie. You said, do you want to go to the lie? Or how did you get to the lie?
I had the Band of Mercy bring loved ones forth for them.
Oh, okay.
And I asked them, I said, do you want to go with your loved ones into the light?
There you go.
And they go, oh, yes. And they go. And then I bring the next one through. And I get them, and just each one.
Even though you didn't verbally know their name at that time.
Right. But I would hear it when I played back.
Right.
One family, their daughter had died. And the daughter was jumping from one parent to the other. And I got her on tape, and they recognized her voice. I mean, you have to have proof. Oh, let me put it to you this way. I have to have proof. If I don't have proof, it's somebody else's, I don't have time. So I ended up devoting my life to this. That's how much proof I got.
I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely.
And aren't people unbelievably understanding when you call to tell them these things?
Yes, they are. It's like, it's the weirdest thing. I called the family and I said, my name is so-and-so, and I want you to know that I'm doing this because I truly care. You're so-and-so, your uncle so-and-so wanted you to have the message that he's alive and well, and that he loves you, and I wanted to verify his name and address and your position. And fine, it's all fine. It's weird. But they go right along with it. Nobody ever hung up on me or said, are you crazy? I didn't do it a whole lot. Yes?
I've noticed watching a lot of these mass murders and people going crazy, and the one thing that seems to be from one person to another is that they seem, the ones that survive and talk about what happened, they say that, I don't remember, it's like I was in a fog.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, are these people, is there something attached that is causing this violence, like
former
criminals or something like that?
I'm not going to say all of them, because there are people out there, they don't need anything to be attached to them to do things. They just really don't. But there are people. I had a lady come to me. This is a case that I was telling David about. I had a lady come to me, and her brother was a farmer. He was 44 years old, somewhere in that age. And he all of a sudden started to do serial murders. And he lived real close to the prison, and they executed a serial murderer in that particular prison. Right after the guy got executed, this farmer started doing the murdering. It was a peculiar way that he murdered, and it was something that had never been put in the newspaper. I won't go into total grave detail, but he did. He would take the contents of their intestines and stomach and make pictures in front of their bodies on the ground.
Okay.
And that's exactly the way the original serial murderer did things. It had never been publicized. And all of a sudden, this guy's doing that kind of killing. They ended up killing her brother. I forgot about that, but they ended up killing her brother. The police did. And she was devastated. And she suspected that that's what happened. But when I told her, yes, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that is what happened. He attached to your brother, and that's why your brother did what he did. And he didn't remember anything. And he didn't remember a thing.
Well, I've read up about the woman who killed all of her babies in the bathtub. Mm-hmm. If you read the way she talked, it was the voices told me to do it. Left side, she reported seeing demons, and all of her doctors just thought she was wacky, and they medicated her, which made her more susceptible and more open.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, if you read back, if you read their accounts and what they talk about, they'll often talk about the voices told me to do it, or I saw dark figures, or they were red light. Pretty constant things.
Indicators.
Mm-hmm.
There were two brothers. They were on television. Two brothers. They did murdering. They murdered people. The one brother in particular, not so much the other one. And the other one had talked about how they had been involved in a satanic ritual, and the things that they did, they wanted to become demons under Satan. And they started experiencing voices in their heads and red lights and various things. And the one brother stopped himself and turned himself over to God for God's protection and broke away. And the other brother, I think, got executed. But it was on television. And he was talking about that very same thing. Now, am I going to say to you, all people that do these things are possessed? No, I am not. And I am going to say that you are responsible for what you do, knowingly or unknowingly, because that's your body, like it or not. But it does happen. Unfortunately, people don't know this. They're not educated. They don't have a clue. I didn't have a clue. I did not know that this could be. I had no idea until I read the book and started the process.
In a situation where, for instance, mass murder gets injected, is that considered killing? Is that considered murder itself? And would they be able, if they attach to somebody else, would they be able to, for instance, now lift them off, or would they have to go through a different process?
You can lift them off. People that are executed in prison, they don't usually go into the light. And they then can have the right to jump on somebody else and live vicariously through them and do killings through them.
Would that other person that they jumped on be able to do a lifting?
They
and
could.
Releasing?
They most definitely could.
Could
no
they?
Different.
Okay. Could they attach to the executioner? I mean, would that if somebody kills you, you have the right to attach to them?
You do under normal circumstances.
But that's not normal.
But they've broken the law, and that's accepted, correct?
There is a law that they have to abide by. When man creates laws, there are certain laws that they still have to abide by. Not all, but...
And like in war, too.
Yes. Well...
I mean, there are always the soldiers who kill for sport.
It depends.
I'm here to tell you, I've had a lot of guys that have come in. They have a lot of problems because they've got all of these, their soldiers, their friends that are attached to them that have died in war with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all sorts of physical problems and mental, emotional problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken a few of those and cleared them, and their problems, probably 80%, were gone.
You talking about like PTSD?
Yes. Exactly.
I'm talking about if it's not considered murder, though, when it's in war.
It's
correct?
In war. It's not considered murder. Yes. But they have attached. There's all sorts of things that can attach.
In that case, it does depend on the warfare, like what tactics are used.
No. It depends on how sensitive they are. And I think their own personal lessons, their own personal growth. Yeah.
Okay, what you're saying is more attuned to the Bible and to ancient times where people didn't know, like with doctors treating patients with drugs, you know, they would have schizophrenia or whatever. They always say it's, you know, it's like a chemical thing or
there is schizophrenia.
Disorder. Would you say that it's probably closer to the truth that these are actual possessions instead of a chemical disorder?
No, I can't say that. I have run into both. I've run into people that truly have schizophrenia. Yeah. They truly have mental problems. Although they'll usually have a few spirits attached there as well. But by clearing them, it won't clear their problem. They really and truly have a disorder. And I don't know if it's true or not, but they've been talking about schizophrenia, parasites contributing to schizophrenia. That could be a source or a partial source of schizophrenia, which I'm kind of curious about that to see.
Yeah. You talking about like bacteria or virus?
No, these are parasites. Actual parasites.
Spiritual?
No, not spiritual. Physical, nature, parasites. Yeah.
In body.
This is what science has been observing, been coming up with. It's a whole new thing. Well, I only heard about it about 2 weeks ago.
Well, when the way that spirits attach, they attach to your brainstem.
Yes.
And if you can have physical manifestations of problems, physical illnesses that show up, your brain will react. I mean, if there's somebody who attaches who has depression, the chemistry is going to shift as a result of the attachment.
Yes.
So if you've got, if you already have chemical disturbances, and then you get a friend who has chemical disturbances, I mean, that's going to exacerbate the problem.
Correct. Absolutely.
So chemical issues and attachment isn't, that's not mutually exclusive. So they.
Yeah. Well, it's going to leave them more vulnerable.
Those are always spirit possessions. I have worked with
multiple personality disorders, always spirit possession.
Of multiple personality disorder and cleared them.
The boy or the woman who was blind, that article you shared with me.
Yeah, I brought an article in. It was in Sunday's paper. And it was science. There was a woman who was born. She was born blind.
I think she
developed.
She had an injury that caused her to go blind.
And she started. You give it. I don't remember.
Okay, so the gist of the story was that the woman had multiple personality disorders there, and they each had very distinct. Like, one was like a teenage boy that from like a certain place, they each had very distinct identities. And when the teenage boy took over, she was able to see things and like identify things with her eyes where the pathways should have been disconnected, considering the fact that her eyes were damaged via injury. So there was, science was not able to explain why this woman was all of a sudden able to see.
That was like the show that I can't, something of Tara. I can't think about it. It was on
Showtime.
The
United States of Tara.
Yeah, on Showtime.
Yeah, that's very.
She had three specific personalities. And one of them she had on her glasses. She could not see.
Exactly.
I had eye problems until I started looking.
Well, they did a study in Chicago at one of the universities there. They took a person with multiple personalities and they did chemical analysis, blood analysis, and with each personality it was different. I said, well, of course it's different. They're different people.
Well, that's kind of scary to think about because I'm O negative blood. What if somebody attaches to me that has A positive blood?
It doesn't seem to matter. It only happens while they're attached and then you go back to normal.
But what happens if something happens while they're attached and
they're
trouble. I mean, I guess I wouldn't be in trouble. I'd only take O negative. But they would give me O negative anyway.
I don't know.
But in potential drug interactions, I mean, that could be.
If they have an allergy to a drug and they're attached to you, yeah, it could kill you.
Like that.
Yeah, exactly. Say they're allergic to peanuts.
And you wouldn't have a clue.
Wouldn't have a clue.
You're going for a crunchy honey roast peanut butter sandwich like you've enjoyed every day. And all of a sudden that peanut butter sandwich did not enjoy you.
The danger there
or
is
Snickers
extreme.
Bar.
And people don't have a clue.
Is that how doctors have run into a patient where they've been their patient for a number of years and they see something that pops up and they're suddenly allergic to it or it goes away? Is that somebody coming and going as a good possibility?
Can be.
Interesting.
I've told people over and over, and I had the lady that came to see me with the bone cancer. Okay? She was dying of bone cancer. Her husband, a year previously, had died of bone cancer. I got her husband off of her into the light. Suddenly, her bone cancer is gone.
And it leaves the doctors
puzzled.
I mean, they don't know what to do.
Well, they were puzzled in the newspaper about that poor lady that was blind. I said, gee, they should have called. Yes, Steve.
When someone, a spirit does attach to you, is that like, do they know, are they willingly doing this, or is it because like a magnetic attraction of some type?
It's like a magnetic attraction. Like attracts like very often. All right, let's say you like to have a drink. You go to a club or a bar. Spirits hang around clubs and bars. Okay? Yeah. They can attach to you and have their drinky poo and walk home. You're walking home with them. You've got them now, and they want more and more and more. So they will go to places that they like, that people of their kind go to. Okay? Shoppers, malls, that sort of thing. And like attracts like. Now, I have one lady, she's really sweet, very mediumistic, a little girl attached to her. She loves children, and that little girl loved cream corn, and that's all that child wanted to eat was cream corn. There's reasons for it, and then also you can have attachments from past lives. Those are interesting. And you can have a spirit that has not gone into the light and has been waiting forever to run into you again. And they attach to you just to make your life hell.
Or aren't they surprised when you go home and do the lifting and they're gone?
No, you have to specialize it doesn't always those.
Work. Oh, really?
You have to specialize past life.
Well, let's share with this.
Yes. It's on the web. It's on the page. Basically, you have to call them. You have to say, I would please ask the Band of Mercy to remove all past life to present unclean spirits that are affecting, attach, or influencing me now in the name of Jesus Christ. And either place them in protected sanctuary or do whatever they deem necessary with them in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to call them for what they are.
Not as fun when they're people that you have killed.
No, because they do have a total right.
Yep.
If it's someone that you have killed, they do have a right to attach to you, in which case you have to work that one through. You have to really ask for forgiveness from them and really recognize that they need help just like you need help. And I have had to work some of those through, and I tell them, look, if you really don't like this person, they've really done harm to you, you don't want to stay with them and block your eternity and block the option of being able to see loved ones that you haven't seen forever. I hit them with that. Mm-hmm. Usually get them on over. So it's complex out there, and there's multiple reasons for everything out there. Just like each human being is complex and multiple. Little pun. But it's dangerous out there, and people need to be aware of that danger. And right now, there's a lot of spiritual stuff going on. There's a lot of leakage. Like, I'm getting lots of calls from people that their houses are haunted, weird things are happening to them. This year's kind of, this is a weird year in that everything's kind of loosed, if you will, spiritually.
More free will.
I think after this year, we may not have so much free will. I think this is the year of really using your free will. And next year, I'm not so sure how much free will we'll have. We'll always have free will, but I don't know how much. I think we have more now than we have ever had.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Kind of run amok.
Yeah, a little bit. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? I guess it depends on how you use your free will.
Is this kind of what we were talking about at Walmart the other night?
Kind of. Yeah, a little bit. This year is such a radical year of change. And it's kind of like, are we going to go in decline? Or are we going to elevate? I don't know which way it's going to go. That's why I've not been allowed to look into the future. I'm betting on elevation.
Elevation.
Yes, of the soul.
Mm. Oh, because you're going to continue to grow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if we decline, we're not going to grow. We're going to decline, and that won't be good.
De-evolve spiritually?
We can de-evolve, yes. Mm. I don't know.
And that was going to be one of my main questions tonight. It's about spiritual evolvement. I was reading this book that essentially he describes spiritual evolvement in all its different forms, and I thought it was interesting. I was going to get your...
What did it say?
Well, he said essentially ultimate spiritual evolution comes in realizing your essence as spirit, your spiritual essence, that you are spirit and not...
That helps.
...body, you know. And then unselfish service, selfless service to others, or a life of that, you know.
Okay.
What's the third one? I can't remember what the third one was. Really good stuff. I was just going to, like as far as the unselfless service to others.
Okay, so you're supposed to sacrifice.
I don't know. But he didn't say sacrifice. He just said selfless service to others.
I don't know. My guides tell me that we're not here to sacrifice, that that's been done.
By Jesus Christ.
Yes, by Jesus Christ, that has been done.
We're here to live and learn.
We are here to evolve, and the only way we can evolve is by interaction with others. And if you're sacrificing, if you're doing everything selflessly, I don't think there's much growth there. I think it's a nice thing to do, but I don't think there's a great deal of growth involved.
I'll get the book. I'll let you in my car. And it's just a paragraph there. I want you to read it and see what you thought about this.
Okay.
But don't you think that helps elevate your soul by being somewhat sacrificial,
no.
Christ-like?
No, I don't. I really don't. I used to believe that that's what we were... I used to believe that was what we were here for. I believe that's what I was here for. And I found that there was the dark side that went, come on, little girl. Give selflessly. Sacrifice. I'll take care of you. And I got beat to death with it. I think that when you do something for someone else, you shouldn't be doing it because you want something. Okay?
Right.
Now, if you want to call that selfless, then so be it. That's how I believe. I do believe there should be a fair circle. What you give out, you should receive. Whether it doesn't have to be exactly or anything, but there should be a give and take. I don't think that I'm supposed to hang on the cross. I think that's been done. And I think my path is to walk righteously and walk my talk. I think if somebody needs help, and they truly need help, then I believe that I should help them because I want to help them, because it's the right thing to do. Not because they con me into it or because they guilt me into it. I have a whole different way of looking at things now. From the time I was a child, I loved God, I loved Christ, always. And I thought that it was my job to fight evil on all of its levels. I had no idea that it was my job, along with others, to help redeem back to God. It wasn't to fight, it was to redeem, to clear, to make whole again. So I have to look at things on a whole different scale. I know that I can't grow without going through lessons. And the only way you can go through lessons is sometimes you get kicked. And it's okay to get kicked as long as you learn not to go back and get kicked again. Particularly by the same person. I think that's the whole lesson of being here, is to learn that you were created by God and that you are important, and every other person on this planet is just as important as you are. You're no better, you're no worse. They're all walking their path. And sometimes it's not right to intervene in other people's paths because in your eyes, it's harmful or it's wrong. We can't judge other people's paths. When I give information, I give information knowing that they can choose to use it or not use it, and I don't put assumptions on them anymore. I used to. I don't anymore. Because I realized that that's kind of a slam in their face. It's not right for me to make a judgment that my information is better. It's just information, and it comes through me. I spent years working for the Kidney Foundation as executive director, and I worked with fundraising and charities, and I found out how many of them were crooked. It really broke my heart. Now I check out everything. I don't do the trust thing. That sounds terrible. I have trust issues, and I'm very proud of that. It took me years to develop trust issues. It did. I'm here to tell you, you tell me something, I'm going to say, okay. I don't do that anymore. I have learned that I have to set a value to me as a creation of God. And that I have learned that people that want to manipulate you will lay guilt trips on you and will say, oh, you can trust me. I'm a Christian. You had better run. I have learned that I no longer give my trust away. I have learned that people need to earn my trust. If they can't earn my trust, I certainly don't need to give it to them. I have a dear friend. She's very intelligent. She's an attorney. And this man told her that she had trust issues because she told him that she recognized that he was married. And he was. And that he just couldn't cope with a woman that had trust issues. I told her, if you get around this man again, you say, look, I'm an attorney, I'm a professional, yes, I have trust issues. I have learned to develop trust issues, and no, I don't trust you, you're married. So there's a lot of things that we are taught to do in this, on this earth plane. We're taught by churches, we're taught by parents, we're taught by society, whichever society you're raised up in, that these are the rules and this is what you do to be a good person, to be a selfless person. I don't think that's what we're here to be. Again, I repeat, I'm not saying you cannot help other people. I think, yes, you help other people when it is appropriate to help others. Sometimes helping others harms them. I've learned that one too. So I think you have to get your guidance from your guides and find out. I was shocked at the things that I learned from my guides. I was truly shocked.
I keep being told over and over and over again, sacrifice is an ancient philosophy that's no longer truly necessary for this era.
They told me when I believed in, I went through this whole thing with sacrifice with my guides. I thought that it was my duty to sacrifice my time, my energy, whatever it took to do the work for God. That's what I believed. My guides said to me, you are not here to sacrifice. There is no need to sacrifice. There is no need to ever sacrifice through God. Really? Yes. And they had to go over it a few times because I couldn't get the concept. Because I was raised Baptist, okay? Sacrifice and guilt, you know, sin. And it was really hard for me to conceive of that. I really thought that I was here to sacrifice anything in my life to do God's work. And I fully believe that. It's not a part of God's work. It's not required by God. Which I'm grateful for. But I really did believe it. And I know that a lot of you believe it. And there are a lot of people that take advantage of you because of it. Talk to your guides. Do not take my word for anything. You talk to your guides. You find out from them. And look at the times that you've sacrificed and see what happened.
Well, I can give a big example of one internationally of sacrifice with the church not allowing their clergy to have spouses, families. Look what's happened with that.
Yep. It's not good. So, that's where I stand.
Hasn't the ultimate sacrifice been already taken care of?
It has been taken care of. That's what they told me. They said Christ did the ultimate sacrifice. We are not required. We are required to walk the walk. To walk our talk, especially. I have to walk my talk.
You did pretty good.
Thank you. I try.
So what do you think about, like, men and women that go into the monastic service, you know, monks and nuns? I mean,
I think it's foolish.
They're completely giving their life to a life of service to others.
It's fine if that's the way they want to. I respect everybody's beliefs.
I'm just wondering, I mean, are you saying that they don't evolve spiritually that way? Because I would have a problem with that.
Yes.
Because
they,
from what I've seen, are
have
higher spirituality usually than most of us. If they're in a monastery or...
It depends upon the soul. I also recognize there are certain paths that people have chosen to take in different lifetimes for different reasons. Mm-hmm. You have to recognize that part of it too. Mm-hmm. And it may be that they needed redemption themselves and that they had to do this for their own personal redemption. Mm-hmm. Maybe they owed it. Higher spirituality... Talk to your guides. Learn from your guides.
And I would argue that, like, people of the monastic, not necessarily is it maybe that they have a higher spirituality, but sometimes it's higher religiosity. I mean, it's just religiosity, and religiosity and spirituality aren't one and the same.
I agree. There's multiple reasons, though.
And appearances are never as they seem.
Never. Never. But hiding from the world does not allow you to evolve. And there are many, many people, religious organizations, that believe that you hide from the world. And that does not bring you into evolvement, because you can't evolve without dealing with situations, without dealing with others. There's no evolvement.
Especially since we're here to evolve through experiences.
Exactly.
And lack of experience, you just, what's the point of even living?
Exactly.
Existing at the moment.
Yeah. I've gone through a lot of growth processes with my background, my religious background, all of that. Now, when I was a kid, I was in the church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, every Wednesday, Saturdays, every opportunity I got. I was very devoted, always have been devoted. So I know what the belief systems religiously are. That's why it kind of blew my mind when I found out things were different than what I thought they were. And then my guide said one day, God doesn't need religion. And I went, oh, you're right. God is. I am that I am. Mm-hmm. And there's God in each and every one of you, because you, each and every one of you is a creation of God, no lesser, no greater. And all that information is within you. You're a hologram of all the wisdom of God. It's all within you. It's a matter of being able to tap into that wisdom and bring it forth. Those are the things I'm trying to teach. And God didn't put me here to teach. This is something I'm doing because I want to. Because I feel that it's an opportunity for people to get the information that they just can't seem to get. It's just not out there. But it's for you to receive on your own as well. I didn't go to a book and get any of this, right? I didn't go to somebody and say, teach me. I got it from God, from guides, the Holy Spirit. And I've tested everything. Maxed it out, testing everything, because I'm very skeptical, believe it or not. I don't trust. I have trust issues.
In fact, you'd have to be kind of suspicious if they didn't want you to test it.
Yes. Yeah. I've tested my guides too, I'm telling you. When you run into the demonic, when you really run into the demonic, when you really have that contact with them, you learn there's some really bad stuff out there, and you better be cautious.
Constantly.
Constantly, you bet. I stay on top of it all the time.
Who's your wooden master?
So.
Be prepared for a shock.
Every day's a new world. Okay, we break. Yes, I see the clock. She's showing me the clock. We break, then we'll come back.